From the Financial Times in New York, I'm Amy Keene, and this is FT News. Hillary Clinton is recuperating from pneumonia in her upstate New York home after taking ill at a September 11th memorial ceremony on Sunday. Campaign officials have said that she was diagnosed with a respiratory illness on Friday, but they made no official statement on the candidate's health until hours after she left the event. This has prompted fresh questions about her candor during this campaign. The FT's Courtney Weaver joins me from D.C. to explain this latest development in the final stretch of the presidential election. Hi, Courtney.
Hi, Amy.
A candidate coming down with pneumonia and not announcing it to the press right away. Why is that making such headlines?
It's not just the fact that Hillary Clinton has pneumonia. It really goes back to two things. The first is that, if you remember, over the past few weeks, we've had a lot of right-wing conservative bloggers making claims that, you know, Hillary Clinton doesn't have the fitness to be president. We've heard Donald Trump since last year saying, questioning her energy, questioning her stamina. And then a few weeks ago, a video came out showing, you know, Clinton kind of reacting to a reporter, and some right-wing bloggers thought that she was having seizures in this video. So, you know, the Clinton campaign has been saying, oh, these are just conspiracy theories. When she had this hacking cough last week, they were kind of, you know, joking about it and just saying, you know, it's seasonal allergies. And then lo and behold, she actually does have, you know, a serious illness, you know, granted an illness that people get all the time and people recover from very quickly, you know, but she wasn't as healthy as she was claiming. And this kind of goes back to these bigger issues about trustworthiness and problems that people have with her as a candidate. There was a CNN ORC poll last week, and according to that poll, 50% of registered voters found that Donald Trump was the more trustworthy of the two candidates, and only 35% of voters thought Clinton was. And so this just kind of goes back to, this is one of her biggest issues that she's been trying to surmount this whole campaign. And I think this really goes to the heart of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So why keep it a secret? Why not be more forthcoming about this? You know, as you said, this is a relatively common illness that many people have well recovered from.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, looking back in history, she is not the first candidate to get sick. Presidents have been very sick. You know, we had FDR, who, you know, everyone knows had polio. JFK also was very sick. He had Addison's disease, which causes fatigue and dizziness. People now think this is why he collapsed on a trip to the UK and during the campaign. But I think it's interesting, you know, decades ago, obviously presidents were able to keep this a secret. There wasn't Twitter, there wasn't social media, there wasn't 24-hour cable news.
Yeah, it's definitely a different age.
A different age
to be campaigning in.
And I think there are some parallels. You know, one of the other big issues we've been writing about this campaign is about Hillary Clinton's email and her private server. And if you kind of followed it, there was this back and forth between her and Colin Powell, who was Secretary of State, talking about how he used personal email while he was in the government. But it really, I mean, you know, obviously technology is changing so quickly, and social media, and basically what the public expects of candidates, presidential candidates. And so I think this is just a further reflection of this, that, you know, she still thinks she can get away with, you know, the sort of media coverage that her husband was getting away with in the 90s, when we didn't have these 24-hour cable news networks and Twitter. But she's being held to a different standard, just like the other presidential candidates.
Now, in fairness, both Mrs. Clinton and Mr. Trump are among some of the oldest presidential candidates that we've had in recent history. And they both happen to have kept their medical records a bit of a secret during this campaign. We've got some reports today that they're both going to release their records or more of their records. What's happening there?
So basically, this morning, Trump came out and said, he surprisingly didn't, you know, go after Clinton, you know, for saying that, you know, for the fact that she had pneumonia. But he did say he was going to be releasing more detailed medical records this week, and that he had just happened to have a medical checkup last week. And in response, Clinton's spokesman said she too would be releasing more details about her medical history. But up until now, we really haven't seen that much. You know, typically we'll have much more information on a candidate's medical history, especially when they're the sort of age that Clinton and Trump are. Clinton is 68, soon to be 69 in a couple of weeks, and Trump is 70. And it's really been, especially from Trump, we've had very little knowledge about detailed history of his health. We just have access to one doctor's note, which, you know, proclaimed him to be the healthiest individual ever, almost a satire of a Trump speech. So I think waiting to see what these medical reports reveal will be very interesting.
And I think it's important to note that most presidential candidates, their respective physicians do declare, you know, by either releasing records or in an official statement that, whether or not that candidate is fit, medically speaking, to be president. So there is precedent here,
right,
for releasing these.
Yes.
So given
yes,
all of
absolutely.
This, you know, Mrs. Clinton is expected to return to the campaign later this week. How is all of this going to impact, you know, her first few days back and then going forward to the remaining weeks of the campaign?
I mean, I think this just goes back to the central issue that we were talking about earlier, which is trustworthiness. I mean, it seems like this would have become a much smaller story if on Friday, when she was diagnosed with pneumonia, she had, you know, shared that with the public, taken a couple of days off the trail. I think people would be a lot more understanding. But it was these sort of mixed messages we got on Sunday, where we didn't know first where she'd gone after she abruptly left the September 11th memorial event that she was at. And then, you know, it was hours before we actually had confirmation from the campaign that she did have pneumonia. So, you know, this is going, it's not just about her having pneumonia or being sick. It's more just about this trustworthy question that keeps coming up.
Well, thanks so much for your time, Courtney. And listeners, you can read more, see the latest polls and stay up to date with Courtney's reporting on the trail at ft.com/polls. Thanks, Courtney.
Thanks, Amy.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Center.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts.